Psalm 49, I read to you the whole psalm and we will meditate on the verses here. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. That he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. The psalmist had a message for everybody in the world. The important people and the nobodies, the rich and the poor, in this psalm. In verses 1 and 2, we read Psalm 49 verses 1 and 2. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Now the word world here is the translation of an unusual Hebrew word that means the total human scene, the whole sphere of passing life. This word is not unlike the word world, which we find in 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17, where John talks about the world system which caters to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The writer of the psalm spoke from his heart. Psalm 49 verse 3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. Psalm 45 verse 1, my heart overflows with a pleasing theme. The writer spoke of the wisdom and understanding that the Lord gave him, and he dealt with an enigma that only the Lord could explain. In verse 4, we read of that. Psalm 49 verse 4, I read from the King James Version. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. The enigma was life itself and about wealth. It was about the puzzling relationship to the distribution of wealth and the power that wealth brings. The question is, how should believers respond when they see the rich get richer, should they be afraid that the wealthy will abuse the poor? Should they be impressed by the wealth that others possess and seek to imitate them? The writer gives us three reminders to help us keep our perspective in a world which is obsessed with wealth and the power that wealth brings. Number one, wealth cannot prevent death. Psalm 49 verses 5 to 12. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. That he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beast that perish. Now, at the outset, let's not get things wrong. It is not a sin to be wealthy if we acknowledge God as the giver and we use what God has given us to help others and to glorify his name. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 7 to 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 7 to 10. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Again in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 to 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But an increase in wealth often leads to an increased possibility of evil. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verses 17 to 18. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It is good to have things that money can buy if we don't lose the things money can't buy. It is sad when people start to confuse prices with values. Jesus concluded the sermon on riches by saying, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Luke chapter 16 verse 15. Now here the psalmist feared that the wealthy in the land would start to take advantage of poorer people. It was easy for the rich to bribe judges and rob the poor of their rights. And that's what we see even today. Along with wealth comes the great danger of pride. James chapter 2 verses 1 to 9. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. James then speaks to the unrighteous rich who acquire wealth by illegal means. And he says in James chapter 5 verses 1 to 6, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Let's hear what Amos the prophet has to say. Amos chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks, and you shall go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Again in Amos chapter 5 verses 10 to 15. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. You see, those who boast of their wealth have a false sense of security, because their wealth cannot protect them from the last enemy, which is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus had this truth in mind when he spoke about the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. And I read to you Luke chapter 12 verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. This night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Psalm 49 verses 7 to 10. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Now, among the Jews, if a relative was poor, a Jew could redeem him by paying his debts. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 25. Leviticus 25 verse 25. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. But if a relative was dying, no amount of money could come to the rescue. And to whom would you give the money? A murderer could not be redeemed, even if you could calculate the worth of a human life. Numbers 35 verse 31. Numbers 35 verse 31. Moreover, you shall accept no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall be put to death. So money can't rescue you on this side of the grave. Money can't rescue any one of us from death. Nor can it rescue you on the other side of the grave, because you can't take your money with you. Psalm 49 verses 10 to 12. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 49 verse 17. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 21, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Whether you are rich or poor, wise or foolish, you leave everything behind when you die. Many wealthy people think that they will go on forever and enjoy their houses and their lands, only to discover that death is a great leveler. Death is a great leveler. After death, the rich and the poor stand equal before God. The rich may call their lands after their own names, but the names engraved in stone will outlast those owners. Psalm 49 verse 12. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. Now this phrase, he is like the beasts that perish, does not mean that human beings are on the same level as brute beasts. No. What that phrase means is that both man and animal face ultimate death and decay. Secondly, we find the psalmist telling us that wealth will not determine your destiny. Psalm 49 verses 13 to 15. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Now when Jesus told his disciples that it was hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, they were actually shocked, they were astonished, because most of the Jews believed that the possession of wealth was a mark of God's blessing. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 26, we read, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So people with wealth, they tend to trust themselves and their money and to believe the nice things that people say about them also. Psalm 49 verse 13. I read to you from the New Living Translation. Psalm 49 verse 13. "This is the fate of fools, though they are remembered as being wise." The writer of the psalm pictured wealthy, lost people as dumb sheep being led to the slaughterhouse by death, the shepherd. Death is their shepherd who would devour them. Psalm 49 verse 14. "Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell." Jesus gave us the narrative of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Don't think that because a person is rich, he will go to hell. No. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Neither did Lazarus, the poor man, the beggar, go to heaven because he was a poor beggar. No. The rich man cries out from hell, asking Abraham to send Lazarus to earth to speak to his 5 unrepented brothers. He's asking Abraham to send Lazarus to earth to speak to his 5 unrepentant brothers, whom he knew they were destined to hell unless they repented. Luke chapter 16 verses 27 to 28. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, Luke chapter 16 verse 29, but Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Now the key to understanding this narrative is in verse 30. Luke chapter 16 verse 30 to 31, I read to you. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." If someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." The reason for the condemnation of the rich man lies in the fact that he did not repent. While he had the opportunity to do so, he did not repent. And he knew that that was his problem. So he says, "Please send Lazarus and tell them, and they will repent. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." So he's concerned about his 5 brothers. He's become an evangelist in hell. While he was alive, he did not repent. Now he has no opportunity to repent. Now he is in hell. There is no more opportunity to repent. And so he is now concerned about his 5 brothers. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is only a valley of temporary shadows. And Jesus is our shepherd. Psalm 23 verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There is coming a time not far from now when the dead in Christ will be raised and we will share the glory of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 18. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore encourage one another. Therefore encourage one another with these words. What words? The dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us who are alive will be caught up to be with him in the air. To meet him in the air. That's how we encourage each other. Not saying, as believers, you're going to face the tribulation. How can you encourage each other like that? The tribulation is the wrath of God falling upon this earth. Yes, we as believers will face persecution, that no doubt. But tribulation is much, much more than that. Tribulation is the wrath of God falling upon the nations. Psalm 16, verses 10 to 11. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 19. Your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We cannot ransom someone who is about to die. Psalm 49 verses 7 to 8. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. Money cannot take us to heaven, neither can it rescue us from death. But the Lord has already ransomed us from sin and the power of the grave. He shed his blood on the cross to rescue us. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Psalm 49 verse 15. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross, by shedding his blood to ransom us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. When we die, as believers, God will receive us to himself. Psalm 73 verse 24. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. And afterward you will receive me to glory. You guide me with your counsel. So while we are here on earth, we can live the way that God wants us to live, because we know him, because we know Christ. And afterward you will receive me to glory. So God will receive us to himself when we die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 to 8. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I believe the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Make sure you're ready, that you're born of God's Spirit, that you have the Spirit of God living in you. Verse 5, remember we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So if you are born again, if you are born of God's Spirit, if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit because you know Christ, you repented of your sin and received Christ into your life. If so, you are assured of being received by God Himself. When Jesus returns, He will raise our bodies from the grave. Our decision to receive Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives determines our eternal destiny, not the possession of great wealth. Number 3, wealth must not increase your desires. Verses 16 to 20. Psalm 49, verses 16 to 20. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. The psalmist gives two warnings regarding material possessions. Number one, he says, beware of having a false security. Beware of having a false security. You see, people buy property and houses and put their names on it. But one day those houses and buildings will be torn down. Or someone will come by and say, that name on that house, who was that fellow? And the reply will be, I don't know, never heard of him. People try to perpetuate their fame through their wealth, but eventually they fail. Number 2, beware of wasted opportunity. We can, as believers today, invest what God has entrusted to us in God's work. We can help others in need. If we are faithful stewards of the wealth that God has entrusted us with, then that wealth can be transformed into ministry that brings everlasting glory to Him. So don't waste your opportunity to serve Him this way. Don't be impressed and overawed. The NIV says overawed. Don't be impressed and overawed when you see others getting wealthy and living luxuriously. All their wealth will be left behind when they die and ultimately lose its value. They won't be able to praise themselves, nor will they be able to hear others praise them. We take nothing with us when we die. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. So, if we have been faithful stewards of what God has given us, then we will possess eternal riches that will never fade. Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We can't take wealth with us, but we can send it ahead of us. How? By using the resources that God has given us as good stewards, knowing that God is the owner. God is the owner, we are only stewards. And remember, we are stewards of wealth. We are not owners, we are only stewards of wealth. We should invest our wealth into God's kingdom purposes. You can't take your money with you, but you can use it today for God's glory. When you do that, you are investing in eternity. So make your wealth eternal. Make your wealth eternal by asking God to direct your use of wealth. The statement in verse 12 is repeated in verse 20 with the addition of the phrase without understanding. Psalm 49 verse 12 says, Psalm 49 verse 12, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. But in verse 20, same Psalm, Psalm 49 verse 20, last verse, man in his pomp yet without understanding is like the beast that perish. The writer of the Psalm penned the Psalm so we could have, so that we would have understanding. We need to understand that wealth cannot prevent death. Wealth cannot determine our destiny. And we must not become covetous when we see others prospering in this world. It is not a sin to have wealth, provided we earned it honestly, we spend it wisely, and we invest it faithfully in that which pleases the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.